Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Hey, now's the fun time. Get your mind set on God. Be glad that you're not God. Be glad that our God is good and merciful. And be glad that you can focus on Him right now. And you don't have to worry about who's going to be running the world or doing all this stuff. If you got something in the crock pot, let the crock pot do what the crock pot does. You ain't got to worry about it. Whatever's going on, take this time, put your mind on God. Just say thank you. If you can't say anything else, if you came in here and it's been a hard week and you just are down, you're alive, which means you got a purpose, and y'all just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Wherever you're at, maybe it's been the most wonderful week, and you got blessings coming out your ears. Say, thank you, God. Take this time to praise Him. They're not the choir. They're not a band that they're not the professionals up here to worship. We're the choir. They're the leaders of the choir, and we all are going to sing to God. Y'all ready for that? Let's pray and do it. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Until you start putting your mind on them, till you start seeking them, till you start reading His Word, and you start praying, and you start seeing what He does and who He is. Can I tell you, a lot of times I use my kids as funny, goofy examples, but this past Saturday morning, my son woke up really early in the morning, he and Rivers, and they headed down to the river, and they saw the sun rising over the lake, and he said, he sent me a picture, said, God is awesome. Man, be on the lookout for things that just say, God is awesome. And you'll trust him. It won't be no problem.
Deeper within, through the way things appear.
call in the spitting section. I just want to apologize. I'm hoping my beard will catch anything extra that'll come out for y'all up front. And glad that y'all are here. 90s class, you ready? Ready? Break. Here goes 90s class. Oh, hey, baby. I know we have some friends and family here, so to all our guests, I know Mr. Johnny already greeted you, but greetings. We're glad that you're here. Even if you're not happy about being here, it's okay. I feel like that sometimes. You know, just like, come on, man. Gotta do something. Woo-wee. Today's message is really important. And if this thing stops rubbing on my shirt, you'll hear it. But it's important for a reason that you may not know. It's important because on my own, I wouldn't preach this. This would be one of those pages in my Bible. Not that I'd tear out, because I would never tear anything out of the Bible. It's just not one of those places where I'm comfortable. It's not one of the things that I'd preach. However, we've dedicated to going through the book of 1 Corinthians together. We've dedicated through preaching the Bible together. And what I want you to know about this sermon is it's being preached because I just believe in the Bible being the Word of God. And I'm just not afraid to go in anywhere or say what it says. Even if it's not my cup of tea, so to speak, even if it makes me a little bit out of my comfort zone or forces me because of that to look deeper into the Scripture than what I would like. At the Foundry this morning, I don't know what it is about me being so scratchy, but I apologize. I'll try not to move. The other church I preached at this morning, the Scripture was about a faith relationship in Jesus Christ being the way we're saved. Oh, Lord, thank you. Man, that's what I like to preach. Man, I can preach that all day long. This one's going to say, you're going to hear it, and I'm just going to out it right here. It says, you know, I don't permit women to speak in church because it's a disgraceful thing. I'm like, really, Lord? You know, there's women in my church. Women who speak. Help me. Help me. This is what you're giving me now. But this is what I want you to know about it. Man, we can't go to the right or to the left. God says, here's my word. Now, you might have to look deep. You might have to figure out a way. And we'll see if I orchestrate a good shimmy slide all the way around this topic or not. But I wanted to bring this up to you. Your preacher's going to preach the Bible. I ain't got nothing else. Adrian Rogers once said, hey, I'm not clever enough to preach anything besides the Bible. And then he said, and I'm too clever to preach anything besides the Bible. And I'm kind of in that same pickle. So, if you get offended at the reading of the Word of God, just come on. We'll all walk together. Going, sometimes being bewildered. And maybe if you come to an understanding of why this is and why it's said, amen. All the more we get to walk together. But know this, I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it, whether it seems to make sense with our time or our culture, or if it's in step, even with my own personal experiences, I'm going to preach it. Does that make sense? All right. But first, I'm going to read it. So we're in 1 Corinthians. I don't know what it is. I feel like my chest here is trying to break out against the microphone. That's what it sounds like. It's just a pot like going, I have no idea. I imagine that's not it, but it's just what it sounds like. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 20. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. In the law it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to these people. But even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues are a sign not for believers, but for the unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for the believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquires of and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin, and are brought under the judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So then they will fall down and they'll worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each one of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak, one at a time. And someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not the God of disorder, but of peace, as in all congregations of the Lord's people. Women should remain silent in churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Or, did the word of God originate with you? Or, are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, they themselves will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here to hear your word. And Lord, help us to grow in our trust, our understanding. Help us to look to what you've given us and understand why. And Lord, in any place where we are outside or we are trying our own way or being the editor or boss over you and your word, correct us. Set us back in our place. You're God, we're not. And Father, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I already told you about the big pickle in this text that kind of gets me, right, that we're going to explain. That's going to be the last point on your outline, all right? So before we get there, let me draw you all back out before you're like, go ahead, buddy, go ahead. My wife is back there going, fine, I won't say another word. What you going to do then? What you going to do? I just did announcements. Anyway, we're going to get there, but try to live, you know, in the moment before we get there, because there is... As I studied this passage and I started thinking, Lord, what's the point? What are you trying to show us, especially about spiritual gifts? Because we're in this series and we're talking about spiritual gifts. The point I believe he's trying to show us is that we ought to develop our gifts. That our gifts ought to mature. That when we come together as a church, and this is a corrective to the church in Corinth about how they were doing church together. Okay? This isn't about all Christian meetings. This isn't about... You know, meeting together as a small group. This is about when you come together as a big church, he's going to give them an order. He's going to give them some structure. He's correcting a mess. Again, this letter is written to correct. And what had happened in their services was everybody was talking. Everybody was like trying to over-talk each other. And it just became a mess. So throughout this passage, what I've seen is a call to mature. Right from the beginning, verse 20. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. Stop thinking like children. And he says, now in regard to evil, you should be like babies. We don't got to plumb the depths of evil and understand the depths of ugliness and darkness. We don't have to have somebody sin to help them out of their sin. I hear this a lot. Sometimes we hear, well, you know, you won't understand. If you're not an addict, you won't understand an addict. Okay, maybe I won't. Maybe not all the way. But I can understand what freedom comes through Christ, whether I'm an addict or not. You know, I don't got to try every sin before I can be helpful to those who are trapped in it. You know, I've spent a weekend in Parchment talking to guys, some of whom killed family members. Well, I don't need to go killing any family members just so I can be in their shoes so I can tell them about Jesus. Right, Dad? He's like, that's right, son. That's good. That's good. That's good thinking. It's good thinking. Right on. Keep on that. Man, so he says, when it comes to evil things, be like babies. We don't gotta get into all this. He said, but when it comes to things that are good, when it comes to law, be like grown folks. Be grown. Be mature. Okay? So we want to develop. We want to develop our thinking on the gifts. The first one that he gets to here, to me, is like saying, don't get hung up on one gift only. Don't get hung up on one gift only. I can't go into last week. I can't go back into next week either. Think about it. Yeah. So I can't go back in. I can't go all the way back into last week. But in the church in Corinth, they had really got attached to the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, and it had become very prominent. And what we see here is Paul's actually going to quote a scripture from Isaiah and say, even if you do talk to these folks in a foreign tongue, they won't listen. In other words, we can try all the things you want to try, but don't get hung up just on one spiritual gift. Don't get hung up on just it being one thing. Okay? There's no silver bullet when it comes to the spiritual gifts. There's no silver, you know, just one size fits all formula for what's going to happen and what's going to make people listen. So that's the first thing he's telling them to develop. Develop your thinking on the gifts and realize that it's a broad spectrum. That we're a body. Like a body has a hand and it has a foot and a leg and a neck and a head. We need all those parts. Right? Joey, we need all our parts, don't we? Joey was opened up recently. And he got to keep all his parts. But now I know we're kind of laughing. But you know what? There was a time when the doctor, you know, somebody in authority who knows, said, we may have to take out your pancreas. How big is your pancreas? Little thing. You probably don't even need that then, do you? Whoa, what do you need it for? What do you need that little pancreas for? What does it do? It produces some hormones. It produces insulin, which helps you to process sugar, amongst other things. And if you don't have one, what do you got to do? You've got to take insulin shots. How many times? For the rest of your... Right. It's just little. But can I tell you, you might think you just have a little gift or a little role to play in this church. But if you think rightly and you develop your thinking about the gifts, you'll realize there is no little gifts. There is no small role. What if you have the gifts of speaking in tongues and you pray in tongues and you pray to God? Can I tell you, we need your prayer. Pray. Get in your closet. Pray. Pray. And pray. There's no little gifts. Just like there's no little parts of your body, you know, just, I still don't know what an appendix is for. I'm you know, everybody gets those things out. I almost want to have mine out for funsies. What are you doing this weekend? Having your appendix out. What's wrong with it? Nothing. Not a thing. Just trying to lose weight, and I figure I start cutting things out, that'll get it. I'm going to get it before it gets me. But growing up in our thinking about the gifts, and saying, hey, there's not one size fits all. The only one thing in this whole talk in the Bible from chapter 12 to chapter 14 on spiritual gifts, the one thing he says we all ought to have, all of us, universally, ought to have. Do y'all remember what it was? Love. Love's better than any spiritual gift you'll get anywhere, ever, always. He says you can have them all. And if you don't have love, you got nothing anyway. So the one thing that is one size fits all that we ought to be examining and showing and that we would think and have the gifts kind of in their priority is that we ought to have love. You ought to develop that. He says pursue it. But besides that, we need to know that there's not one size fits all. So we develop this thinking about our gifts. We ought to develop a sense of the group to whom we're ministering. Verses 22 through 25 kind of pictures a church service. He says, so let's say you're having church, and I believe the first churches were like our churches. Everyone was welcome. I mean, I believe they held services where they said, come on. I mean, when they first were started, these guys didn't have their own buildings. They're preaching in other people's buildings. So who could they keep out? I mean, if they're preaching in the courtroom or the courtyard of the temple, what are they going to say? Oh, no, but you can't come and you can't come and you can't come. A lot of times they preached in synagogues. When Paul was on his mission trip, a lot of times the only two believers that'd be in the whole room were going to be him and whoever was with him. And everybody else was lost. One time he stood on Mars Hill in Athens, the Areopagus, and he talked to philosophers and all these people who didn't believe, and he just shared the gospel with them. Man, I believe churches were like ours. Everyone is welcome. And when we got everybody gathered here together, we ought to make sense when we talk, right? We ought to speak plainly. And we ought to just start developing who is it we're talking to. Y'all, you might think it's a matter of integrity. It's a matter of integrity. I talk to people the same way I talk to them. If I talk to you in private, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus in the same way I would talk to you in public. You know, I don't got a private religion and a public religion. I have a relationship with Christ that's the same everywhere. But if I'm talking to my pastors about a specific issue in the church, you want to believe I'm not going to talk as openly here in this big group that I will in that small group? You better believe it. Because you know the crowd you're in. Right? Because you know the relationship you have with the people you're talking to. And if there's an issue, you have confidence, you have confidentiality, and you're sharing with these folks. I'm not going to come up here and tell you, well, let me tell you about so-and-so. Oh, my goodness. I don't do that with the pastors either. But sometimes there's a need to discuss things in a group that's different. Y'all get what I'm saying? I mean, it's part of the reason why we have a finance team. It's part of the reason why we have a pastor team. It's so we can discuss things that maybe aren't fitting for this big group. You know, I know there's people in here who don't know the Lord. So what do I want to do? Get into a business meeting? Get into a doctrinal or political battle or fight? No. You know, he says, depending on how you speak in a group, I put two responses. There's two responses listed in that passage between verse 22 and 25. It says, you come in there and you speak in a way that's unknown to people. The folks who are in there, unbelievers, are going to say this: y'all are out of your mind. Y'all are crazy. Now, in our day and time, sometimes churches take that as a badge of honor. But can I tell you, it's not a badge of honor if they just think that they don't know what you're saying and the message didn't get across, but you were just, you know, yelling out a bunch of gobbledygook and it didn't make any sense and it didn't stick. They're just going to say, you're out of your mind. But there's a way of speaking in church. It says this: but what if everybody was prophesying? That has the idea of preaching and sharing the gospel. It says, when an unbeliever comes in, or somebody with questions comes in, he says, all of a sudden, they're convicted of their sin. Do you know how people get convicted of their sin? Is it because we go, shame on you, man! I know what you've done! I know I'm making you uncomfortable right now! I couldn't help it then. It was just like too late. I was in the mood. Sorry. You're welcome here. Okay. How do people get convicted? Bible students, Bible scholars, who convicts the people of sin? Who? So he says, when we preach and we share the word, they get convicted of their sin. All of a sudden, now let me make a connection. Who's there? Yeah. If somebody gets convicted of their sin, the one who convicts people of sin is there. Yeah. He says, they're convicted of their sin. They're brought under judgment. Again, if we went back to John chapter 16, where it says the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, it also says He brings judgment. You know why He brings judgment? Because folks have said that because they've refused to believe in Christ. That's where the judgment comes. And if you go back, who brings that judgment? Again, it's the Holy Spirit. It says all their secrets are laid bare. You know, it's like saying, hey, how did these people know I was a sinner? I ain't even met them yet. I ain't sinned against them. I ain't sinned against most of them. How'd they know who I was? How'd they know about my struggles? Who is it that really revealed that? It's God, the Holy Spirit. So no wonder after they say, man, if they're prophesying, if they're sharing the word, it says they'll fall down. And that worship and listen to what they say. God is really here. God is really among you. Do you remember what Jesus was called? When he's going to be born. And the angel visits Mary in Matthew chapter 1. And he says you're going to call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from your sins. But he also gives a prophecy that has a different name. Do you remember what it is? He says, this is going to be a sign to you. He's quoting way back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. There's going to be a sign to you that a virgin shall give birth to a child and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus is usually the answer, but this time it's Emmanuel. But they're kind of the same. Okay, Emmanuel. And you know what Emmanuel means?
God with us.
It's so awesome that when we share the Word and the Holy Spirit's at work, their conclusion is God with us. It's a pretty awesome place to be. That's how we want our church services to go. That's how we want them to go. When people leave, they don't say, great song, great sermon, so comfy. We want them to leave and say, God was there. Something happened. Something happened that was different. See, we want to develop and get a sense of who it is we're ministering to so that we can just be that group that's saying, man, we don't want anything to interfere with that. I don't want my personal opinions or struggles or this or that to interfere with God showing up in service and being a part of it. The next is, it says, develop an order to your service. Develop an order to your service. We are like the most unstructured church that I've even heard of, besides the Corinthian church. We're like next. But we have an order of service. What happens first when you walk in when service starts? How do y'all know service has started? Mr. Johnny's up here giving announcements. You know, if you wander around up there and all of a sudden you see Mr. Johnny up here, you're like, it's about to get started. What happens after that? I say something. I open in prayer. And then what happens? Yeah, and then we stand, we sing. And if you sit down, when they first start singing that song, you might as well just stand up. They used to get me every time. I'd go back up there. As soon as I'd sit down, Sean would go, would y'all stand with us? So I'm like, she's got me again. So I just don't even sit down. I just come over here. I'm just like, I'm standing. I'm here. Then what happens? Then we sing. We sing, and then I preach. Right? We bring a word. And then we have an offering. Then we pray to close. You know, but there's an order to it. Y'all, we get the sense in reading this 26 through 33 that they were just out of order, that everybody was trying to do something at the same time. Say this, do that. Everybody, again, is just talking over each other. He gives them an outline. This is kind of an interesting passage because there's an outline of an early church service. Verse 26. What shall we say? When you come together, each of you has a hymn. So come on. You know, they sang in the early church. Imagine what, I don't know what hymnal they had. It was the Holman. It was that Baptist hymnal. And they had the King James Bible. And they had the Holman. No, that's not how it was. This is a little bit before then. If you want to know some of the early hymns, you know some of the early hymns are incorporated into the Scripture. A lot of people that believe that passage in chapter 2 of Philippians where it says, have this same mind in you that was in Christ, although he was God, didn't consider his reputation, and he came down, and he was humbled onto the point of death, and then, exalted. My memory's going bad. Y'all know what I'm saying, though. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Read it. They think that's an early hymn. Do you know what book has more hymns in it? Besides the book of Psalms, but the book of Psalms is a whole bunch of hymns and worship. That would have been their hymnal. Would have been the book of Psalms. But in the New Testament, what book has more hymns in it than any other? Who said what?
Revelation.
Revelation. The book we're all scared of. Is a scared word? The book that freaks us out, it's full of hymns. People singing, groups singing. Unto the Lamb who was slain, who is worthy to take up the scroll and loosens its seals and all that stuff and open it up. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. There's just all these great hymns. He said, come together and sing and worship. And after that, you ought to bring a word. Somebody ought to bring the word. He gives them some opportunities. He said, man, after that, a word of instruction. That's teachers, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Bring a word. That's what we do. We bring a word. Okay? One of the things that I told you I wasn't looking forward to this sermon because of what we're about to get to. But there were some really cool things in this passage too about developing that encouraged me. And I want to encourage you, church. Y'all, we might seem simple and unorganized, but if you look at what we do, we sing praises to God and we bring the Word. You know what the Bible says? The two main things you ought to do in a church service? You ought to sing praises to God and bring the Word. Now, maybe everybody else got a lot of other stuff going that's really cool and really fancy. That's all right. Maybe we all just keep our simple. You know, it ain't too bad. So there ought to be this order. And it says there ought to be a limited amount of speakers and each should take their turn. Some should wait. Just wait. If there's something that needs to be said, just wait. Some, it says, should stop speaking. He said that to the one. He says if somebody's in there and it's time for somebody else to speak, maybe they should stop. And then to some, he says, you just shouldn't say anything. To the one who has a tongue but no interpreter, he says, you should just keep silent. Don't say anything. Nothing. Nada. Just keep it between yourself and God is exactly what he says. So what is he? He says all that to say this. There's no reason for anybody to act like they're out of control. Like, oh, I've got to do this, or oh, I've got to say this, or oh. He says, no. God's not the author of confusion and chaos, but peace. He says, what God's given you, you're in control of using. You're not out of control, spinning out crazy. People say, but the word's burning in my bones, like in Jeremiah's time. Well, that's cool. Jeremiah stood in a cave and preached to a dude who wrote it down on paper. Why don't you do the same thing? You know, you get my point. It ought not be chaos. It ought not be chaos. We have a service, and we have an order, and that kind of encouraged me. All right. Develop a way to answer questions in private. Want to know how to use your gifts and grow in that maturity? Develop a way to answer your questions in private. Paul says, we don't permit women to speak in church. But can I tell you this? It would have been more than just women that he didn't permit to speak in church. He'd just be like Jesus. Jesus would be ministering, and all of a sudden a man possessed by a demon would get up and start doing things. Jesus said, you're not allowed to speak in church. There'd be other groups that came in that maybe just wanted to be hasslers or hecklers, and they weren't allowed to speak in church. There needs to be a way of developing a one-on-one conversation. There needs to be a way of, you know, of handling this. What? How come we can't discuss the finances? Because we're preaching right now. What, LG? We'll take care of that in finance meeting, okay? Yeah, we'll do that because that's what finance team is for. So we'll take care of that then. All right, thank you. So,
hey, Brother John.
Yeah, Jason. What? What party should we vote for? Well, I'll be glad to tell you that. I'll talk to you later. You know, I mean, you know, that kind of conversation, Jason, we can handle maybe one-on-one. We'll talk about it, some of the pros and cons, and I don't mind, you know, I'll share some of my beliefs, but just right now, we probably ought to wait and just have that later. Okay? All right, I'll see you later on that. Some people. Back to my point about developing a time for one-on-one conversations. You know, we can look at this, and what we actually see is that some ladies had some legit questions, and they wanted, you know, all of a sudden they'd hear something said. And all of a sudden they're like, wait, what about that? Or what about this? And what Paul actually says, he doesn't say, you're dumb for asking. He doesn't say, you know, this isn't right or appropriate. What he's saying is, you need to develop a time when you can do that. He said, let if this is a married woman, let her go home and ask her husband, and they can talk there in the home. You want to know what's funny? Is that kind of communication is almost laughable in most cases. You ever watch volleyball? I watched Olympic volleyball. Sand volleyball, you know, beach volleyball, and it was cool when I was watching it. And whenever the ball would go up, it'd land right in between the two people playing. You know what they call that zone between the two people who are playing? They call that the husband and wife zone. They call it that because either one of them could have got it, but neither of them talk to each other about who's going to get it. And so it just drops. And I'm afraid to drop this right now. So it just goes, blink, and they look at each other like, I thought you were going to get it. I thought you were going to get it. We didn't get it. What's wild about the relationships at our home is that this almost doesn't seem like a viable option. Like, we just don't talk about things like that. We don't have meaningful conversations about things like that. You know, one of the things that Sarah and I are working on, we've hit and miss over the years, is having supper together, evening dinner, you know, and just being around the table. We've had it some, and we've not had it some, one of those times, and you just get to talking. Y'all, that needs to be developed. What if you're not married, or you don't have a family, you don't have a son? Well, then there needs to be a time when you can come to your pastor. He mentions folks here, and he says, to a prophet or somebody who's gifted otherwise, and ask them and talk with them. But there needs to be a way for folks to have their questions heard and have to be talked through and prayed through and all those things. And as important as the finances are, LG was pretty much out of order, yelling out right here in the middle of the sermon. And as important as politics are, Jason, this is just not, that's not the time. Let's all look at them disapprovingly. and the Oscar goes to. Anyways. This wasn't a way of picking on people. This was a way of saying, when you're in service, we ought to have it a little bit streamlined. Hey, when I started here as a pastor, there were some folks, before the sermon or right after the sermon, they would run to get a microphone, and they would just start talking about things. And we didn't know how long they were going to talk. We didn't know what they were going to say. And I remember having to have a discussion with them and saying, hey, y'all, Sunday's not an unlimited, it's a good day, but it's not an unlimited time-wise. It's not just like, hey, it's Sunday, and so anybody can say anything they want, as long as they want, as far as they'd like to, and it's just good. Let's just pass the microphone around to everybody. I'm just kidding. You would take it, too. Get away. So we had to have this discussion and say, when we're gathered together, it's important, we can find other venues to share and to do this. That's part of developing as a church, is making sure everyone is heard, making sure everybody has their questions answered, but making sure when we're together as the group, when we're together in church, that we promote a strong message of Christ and Him crucified, raised from the dead, and when people put their faith in Him, they can be saved. We want to put something in there for everybody. And we got this much time. Maybe this much time. I take this much time, but we only have that much time. We've got to be just wise about it. Mature in it. Develop in it. Okay? And that's what he's saying here. Just mature. Just come along with this and be saying, hey, when we come together, it's for a singular purpose. It's not for me to be heard or them to be heard or us to be heard and all those things. Now, let me address the big elephant in the room. What did Paul mean when he said, women shouldn't speak in church and it's a disgrace if they do? I think he was talking in the first century exactly, I think he means exactly what he says. I got no other way of interpreting the Bible except for plain what it says. And that's what it says. And I believe that's what it needed to be in first century AD. In as many advancements has come through the Bible in Christian culture and through the Bible and through the gospel, they still lived in a culture to where that would have been seen improper for women in a public area to be speaking. How do we do that in our time and culture? We don't live in that same type of culture. And y'all, I want you to hear me say this. I'm so glad that we have women leading and speaking like they do in church. It's not unorganized. It's not chaotic. It's not somebody vying for attention and just wanting to be in the spotlight. I don't know where we'd be without the women who serve the Lord in our church. And I dare say this, I don't know of a church that does know where they would be if it wasn't for the women who are serving and leading in church. I'm Facebook, and I don't know, and you know, I just thought about putting on there. I said, praise God for the Christ Community Church Women's Ministry and the work that they do. Raised about $600 selling stuff. You're pretty good when you can just sell stuff. I mean, I don't even know what all the stuff was. It's just stuff. And then people are like, I'll come by and give you money for the stuff. And they're like, okay. And it's not like they just did it one day. They started the day. They started months gathering up stuff and doing stuff and wheeling stuff and doing. And they did all the heavy lifting. They did everything to do with it. I praise God for the contribution of women at Christ Community Church, of the spiritual women in my life. Y'all, and don't take a passage like this to mean God just doesn't like women, or women are second rate or second class citizens. They never have been in the Scripture, and they're not. But there are some things that had to be negotiated, that had to, especially in this church, especially in a church that worshiped a goddess and where femininity was worshiped. There had to be some lines drawn. Okay? That's part of the corrective here. But I got no qualms with my wife or whoever might be coming up and leading. Kim leads here. She doesn't like to think that she leads, but where would we be? You know, Kim arranges the music and does all these things. That's, you know, for our worship and leading in our worship time. Where would we be at? Where would we be at without those voices? Y'all, praise God for what God does through all of us. But just know that there's an order to be done. There's things to be done. But I'm going to tell you this, lastly. Wherever you feel uncomfortable about the Word of God, I know you'll be tempted to make excuses or to run. But don't. Face it. Ask God to help you. Look into it more. Don't just get uncomfortable and quit. You know, and cut and run. I don't like the Bible. It says some things that makes me uncomfortable. Well, it's going to say some things that make you uncomfortable. It says things that makes me uncomfortable. I'm just glad my mom is going to be here next week. I'm just glad I was preaching that this week and not next week. My mom will be looking at me like, well, I can't wait until we're going to church. You know, she's full-grown queen bee. You know, oh, I'm going to tell you something. Y'all, we're in this together. We need each other, every one of us. And we need to develop our gifts. You have a gift, it's not just to rest, it's to develop, mature it, grow it. Just like a talent that you have, just like anything else. Anything that you have, you need to develop it. Okay? And that was the other important part of this text. Let me pray for us, and let me say this. If there's anybody here you might say, John, that wasn't very evangelistic. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is evangelistic. He's looking for everybody to come to know Christ. God wants everybody to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the Holy One. That's what the Bible says. It says Christ came into this world. The very purpose for Him to come in was to save sinners. And Paul adds, of whom I am chief. And so, whoever you are, I know that if God's at work, this might be the time you need to give your life to the Lord. Don't you go thinking, man, I don't know about that sermon. It wasn't it. Nah, it ain't about a sermon, man. It's about a God who's after you. And if today's your day, let it be your day. If today's the day you say, I'm going to stop sitting on my gifts, I'm going to develop it, I'm going to do what's necessary, I'm going to grow up in my thinking, I'm going to realize it's not about me, it's about God. Maybe that's your day and you need to commit that to God yourself. I invite you to do that, whatever it might be, okay? If you have found things in the Word of God that make you uncomfortable and it's hindered your study, I invite you to lay that down. You know what you do when you're at something uncomfortable? You move on, you come back to it, and you just ask God for help. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Does that make sense? So maybe you need to make a new decision about the Lord in the sense of, I'm going to get in your Word, even where it does make me uncomfortable. And in places I don't understand, I just won't understand for now. And that'll be all right. But now's your time to respond to God in any way that He's led you. Okay? Last thing before we do this. We're having a baptism next week. Even though this sermon wasn't about baptism, you're not going to mature as a believer until you start following in obedience. And He said that we ought to be baptized. So if you've put your faith in Christ, and we're so blessed that as a church we've seen so many of our youngins come to receive Christ and who are going to be baptized. And it's not just for children or youth only. But if you've never followed the Lord in baptism, maybe you need to make that decision today to say, hey, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to be baptized like He was and like He said we ought to do. Okay? So keep that in mind too. However God wants you to respond, you respond today. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time that we have to be together. Thank You for Your Scripture. In particular where it makes us uncomfortable, it's almost like a test. And Father, I just thank You for testing us. And I want to say I'm loyal to You. I'm loyal to Your Word, and I love You. And I give You all the praise. Father, for whatever decisions need to be made today, would You just move through the power of Your Holy Spirit that we might leave and say, yeah, God was really here. God was here because there was conviction and judgment and there was a moving. So, Lord, You have Your way. Glorify Yourself through this body and benefit us through Your blessings. We love You, Lord, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
don't know, Mike, you're looking at me so intense. Okay. I was like, I'm just going to ask the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. Offering is a way that we can worship in a tangible way, just saying, Lord, we trust you. And so we're going to do that. I'm going to pray for us as they come down. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you this way. And we give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm an mess and so are you. We build walls nobody can get through. Yet it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, ever do, is bring your brokenness, and I'll bring life. Love can heal what hurts, divides, and moves to waiting on the other side. If we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross. At the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. Love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest, it would change our lives. It would set us free. It's what
that the preacher preached way too long, and so I'm going to cut you out of here right now. Let me pray for us and we'll roll. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time, and we love you, Lord. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready? Work!